numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bydlon. How you doing, Kelly? What's happening?
Doing well. I'm doing well.
Doing well?
I'm sure you can guess that is how 80% of new people pronounce my last name.
Bydlon?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, hi, Mr. Bydlon? Or actually, no. More accurately, Miss Bydlon. How are you doing today?
That's right, Kelly, with the unisex name. Kelly.
Yeah. If it's an email, it's Miss every time.
Well, we love having you, whatever gender you are. It's okay. Whatever pronouns you use, Kelly, you just use them. We're happy
Thanks,
to
man.
Have you.
You're so open and accepting.
Later, Kelly will tell us his pronouns on the show. Can't wait for that. Kai McKeon will join us for three-man weave, talk college basketball. Three more college basketball tournaments tip off today. Looking forward to that on the heels of the Atlantic Sun tipping off yesterday. The Horizon League, the Patriot League, the Sun Belt. They all tip off today. See if he has any conference tournament futures plays. See if he has any plays for today in a very robust college basketball schedule. Paul Spore joins us. Paulie, interrupting his off-season of playing video games on Twitch and having people pay to see him make his rosters. Paul will join us from Fangraphs to talk baseball season win totals, baseball futures, how he feels about these rule changes in baseball.
Okay, I know you're joking a little bit, but
about,
like, what?
Oh, no,
you,
I'm not. I'm not
okay,
joking
like,
at all.
Do you, is that Paul's whole off-season from baseball?
Bro.
Like all 2 months of the off-season of baseball?
People watch him forget playing video games. Putting his rosters together. We can ask him about it.
I mean, we did it on primetime action. I'd watch him while we were doing stuff.
While Matt and I were doing a show.
Yeah. I'd watch him playing video games, doing an interview with us with hundreds of people watching.
Oh, man. It's great. What a gig. And Mike Renner is going to join us from Pro Football Focus, their lead draft analyst. And for those who aren't familiar with Mike Renner, I don't know if he likes me bringing this up, Kelly, but you know I'm going to have to. He's a former contestant on The Bachelorette as well. I got to ask him a Bachelorette question or two. That won't be too annoying for him.
Yeah, I think he was very okay with it the first time we brought it up. I don't know how much that was he a loves different, talking
that
about
That was a
it
different for... show, though. That was primetime action. This is a whole different audience.
That's right.
Hey, Mike, want to talk Bachelorette? Everybody else does. I will talk draft with him as well, get some bets. Have a tennis pick coming up on the heels of a dog winner yesterday on Katie Valinets. Hope everybody got on Katie Valinets there in her win. She bageled Allison Risk in the third and final set yesterday, which was nice. We have another underdog pick, that is, in women's tennis this morning as well. Not quite as early, but we'll get to that momentarily. Kelly has an NBA pick. Before we get your NBA pick, can we talk about LeBron real quick? Because
yes, we can, but I'm gonna break in real quick because we have this, what I texted you earlier, Brian Gutekunst, the GM for the Packers, speaking to reporters right now in Indianapolis. Some of this stuff just coming down. Like I texted you, Gil, we could have a lot here from this or nothing at all, and it appears nothing at all. Brian Gutekunst on Aaron Rodgers, quote, there's nothing to report. We haven't had those conversations yet. He said, went on to say they've exchanged text messages but haven't spoken in person or on the phone, and those conversations with Rodgers will continue at a future date.
All right, so recapping breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, nothing broke.
Absolutely nothing happened.
Nothing broke. Which gets us to LeBron James, where hopefully there's nothing broken. But there is fear that Lakers star LeBron James likely to miss an extended period of time. They are calling it multiple weeks now with his right foot injury. James suffering the injury Sunday's win over Dallas, that come-from-behind win, played through it. And the belief is he'll be, you know, depending on who you listen to, an indefinite amount. The thing I'm going to latch on to is expected to be multiple weeks. Now, we will find out more about that today. And so, Lakers odds, because we are supposed to find out more about that today, Lakers odds are currently off the board, except for, like, can I just say, Kelly, like a shop like FanDuel for the yes-no playoffs?
Yes, bring
there
it
is
up.
There is no no, right? It's just yes. So they put the Lakers yes to make the playoffs at plus, you know, 245 or something like that, just in case there's a person who doesn't know about this LeBron injury and they're gonna bet it at plus 245. Stop doing that.
That's what it feels like.
Stop doing
right?
that.
Like, I don't yes. care if that, I'm sure that's not what you're doing as a book, but that's the way it feels, right?
If you don't put up a no, don't put it up at all. So we'll have to speculate, or we'll have to do some hypothetical of what number would it take to you to bet the yes or the no when these reappear. And so, you know, look, LeBron was after the All-Star game, what do you feel about these remaining 23 games? And he said, these are 23 of the most important games of my career for a regular season. Like that he qualified it with regular season there at the end. Truth be told, that's hyperbole. No one's going to care about these 23 games in terms of LeBron's legacy. The whole Lakers part is going to be like, hey, you won a championship in a bubble and you broke the scoring record. That's going to be the Lakers part of LeBron's story. But he gets hurt, and now with 21 games remaining for the Los Angeles Lakers, who are a half a game out of the play-in, they're tied in the loss column with the 10th place New Orleans Pelicans, but they are a half a game behind them in the win column. So with 21 games remaining, the Lakers on the outside looking in of the play-in. Now let's just refresh the play-in format for people, for those who don't recall it from last year. 7-10. So the top six seeds of the regular season, they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But the 7th through 10th finishing teams per conference the regular season, they play in the play-in. 7 will play 8, 9 will play 10. The winner of the 7-8 game becomes the 7th seed in the playoffs and will play the number 2 team. The loser of the 9-10 game is eliminated. The loser of the 7-8 and the winner of the 9-10 then play a game to determine who the 8th seed will be per conference to play the number 1 seed. So that's what the Lakers are trying to get into. The notion of them getting all the way to 6, well, that now feels like a pipe dream. But now in terms of getting to the play-in, so when the yes-no playoffs come up, Kelly, it's not just to get into the play-in. It's to then get into the play-in and get past the play-in.
Correct. And look, you'll see markets, you know, shops like DraftKings, they have to participate in the play-in game too. So just make sure, if you're looking to bet one of these things, there are usually multiple ways to bet it.
Read carefully.
But you are right. Yes-no playoffs is to get past the play-in tournament.
And so
I do just want to bring up quick too, Gil. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Where the Lakers stand, it's going to be worth repeating this until there's more separation. But the Suns are in the 4 seed right now, and there is a whole 3.5 four-game separation between the Suns in the 4 seed and the Oklahoma City Thunder all the way down in the 13 seed.
Should be stated as well, just for the sake of thoroughness. But now, with 21 games remaining, here's what it is. If you look at the remaining strength of schedule for the Los Angeles Lakers, you look at the strength of schedule, aggregate winning percentage of their remaining opponents, the Lakers actually come out pretty favorable. Well, no, they don't. The Lakers come out pretty favorably in terms of the strength of schedule because it looks like they have the 5th easiest remaining schedule. Their aggregate win percentage of their remaining games remaining teams that they play is 479. But that is deceptive, Kelly, because in the remaining 21 games, there are literally only 5 of those games that involve teams that are out of it.
Yes.
So 16 of those games, even though it's 479 aggregate win percentage of remaining opponents, really it's against 16 teams that are in it terms of looking for a playoff position at the very least.
Like even they've got 2 games against the Thunder. Well, you can think what you think about the Thunder versus the Lakers, but the Thunder are still very much in this.
And front-loading it, because obviously whatever games LeBron is going to miss due to injury, we start at the beginning. It's at Memphis, then it is at Oklahoma City. But then it's Minnesota, Golden State, Memphis, those 3 at home, Toronto and New York wrapping up a homestand. Then at New Orleans. That would take you to mid-March. So even if you believe that, let's be optimistic about LeBron. Let's say multiple weeks becomes 2 weeks. Let's play it that way. Dude, you still got 8 games right there that I just mentioned off the top where, I mean, what's realistic? What's realistic about that? Would you take 4-4 right now if you're the Lakers?
Yeah.
And call it a day? Yeah, you would.
Hell yeah,
you'd be like, I'll take the 4-4 right now. And 4-4 ain't advancing you anywhere.
We're doing the whole injury speculation thing, right?
And yes.
Look, do I think we're going to hear probably in the next couple days LeBron James is done for the season? Yeah, I do.
Oh, you do?
Probably, yes.
By the way, I think it could go either way. I think you're either going to hear he's done for the season, or LeBron, who always just seems to manage to overcome, you know, his physical marvel. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's shorter than it is. But you're right, there is that as well, where it could be over within days.
It could be. But, Gil, I'm telling you, I just think with these bunched up teams And some of the lack of just quality on the other teams, okay. injuries on
That's
the other
exactly
teams.
Where I was getting to. So now all of that in the mix, everything I said, exactly now what you said, because it is a potpourri of mediocrity. I don't know where, why I came up with that phrase.
I like it.
What would be the number you would take on, yes, knowing all that as a backdrop, what's the number you would take on, yes, for the Lakers to make the postseason? Maybe it is worth a flyer. And by the way, there's a Ewing theory, to use the Bill Simmons phrase, right? There's also that. Maybe the conclusion that you leap to, like, well, if they don't have LeBron for X amount of games or maybe for the duration, there's no chance they make it. Maybe that's nonsense, too.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a number you would take on this for them to make the playoffs. What would that be?
There's a number.
There always is.
I did take a small piece of plus 190 for them to make the playoffs right after the trade deadline.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm in a unique position, Gil, where it would have to be significantly better for me to add on. But fair price to bet them to make the playoffs? Over 3 to 1.
Oh, at least.
350, probably something like that. 4 to 1, I wouldn't even sniff it.
Get me to 4 or 5, and I'll talk about
Sorry
it.
Sorry about my phone. It's my first day on the air.
Oh, no one heard it. We didn't hear anything. No, I mean, honestly, if it's not anything south of 4 or 5 to 1, I'm not even sniffing it.
I will say, I think you bring up a good point, because if there's an over-adjustment, though,
yes.
and I can get 4 or 5 to 1, I'm probably
Absolutely.
In on it.
Then it becomes, you know, then the conventional wisdom becomes sort of group speak, and you should probably zig to that zag. Interesting. We'll see, and we'll learn more about LeBron James today and the foot injury. How many games will he be projected to miss for the Lakers, who are now on the outside looking in by half game of the play-in situation, not even the playoffs? We'll come back. College basketball, Kai McKeon, three-man weave. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. It's star placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. If physically located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, as always, call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Paul Medina. Hey, young Gilly, great to have you back, brother. Hope you enjoyed visiting your family and had some rest and relaxation time. Really missed you in the mornings, man. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. This is from Bridge Sweet. Interesting Indian Wells tennis tournament. Indian Wells will not allow laptops. Reason, gambling. iPads are okay, though. Reached out for an explanation, no response. These broadcasts now promote gambling, so who the heck knows? Interesting. I'm going to Indian Wells, Kelly, for a couple days.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Tennis is fifth major. Tennis paradise.
Sure, Matt is, too. Matt Brown, as well.
As featured on the Netflix docuseries Breakpoint. You're right. Terrible name. By the way, you watching the golf one?
Yeah. But Wes brought it up with me yesterday on Long Shots. He's like, hey, have you finished it yet? I'm like, I watched 4 episodes and then totally forgot about
me
it.
Too.
Like, got wrapped up with sports and completely forgot
I
about
thought
it.
Tennis was the better one, but I love the Joel Damon episode.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yep.
You love that guy after
he's
that
awesome.
Episode. Anyway, that's interesting about Indian Wells. No laptops. So if you look in the crowd and you see a dude with a rogue laptop, that will not be me now.
Is that just like random seating stuff, though, that kind of feels like, hey, like, don't be a jerk and bring your laptop to the
game? It feels like, that's what
I
said.
It's not like tennis, everybody has like a lazy boy, like, hey, let's all spread out. Like, no, you're jammed in there next to somebody.
All bets will have to be made mobily. Let's talk some college hoops, ladies and gentlemen, from Three Man Weave. It's Kai McKeon joining us. How you doing, Kai?
Yo, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Kai and his hair, everybody. Kai joins us with his gelled hair. It's a marvel. Are you excited? Conference tournaments, man. Let's go. 3 today begin.
I'm stoked. It's the best time of the year. Yeah, March is tomorrow, and I think 8 conference tournaments start in this next 3 days. It's going to be great, like it is every year. I can't wait.
I can't wait to do like the Big West and the West Coast Conference here, watch them in person here.
See if
Lorenzo Romar can ruin another Pepperdine finish. It'll be awesome. Can't wait.
Are you taking Pepperdine all the way there in the WCC?
I think I've learned my lesson, Kai. They are so frustrating to watch, right? Because those kids have so much talent, and you can tell they have no clue how to wrap up games. They have no clue how to stay in a game. None. It's like, could you get a little coaching in there, maybe? Nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. We'll see at least two of those guys in the NBA next couple of years.
Absolutely will.
Right. Ridiculous. No excuses.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, before we get to games, specific games, because it's a pretty good schedule here today, with three conference tournaments beginning, the Horizon, the Patriot, and the Sun Belt after the Atlantic Sun tipped off yesterday. Anything in the conference markets, let's forget about individual games, but just the conference markets themselves, did you make a bet on any team in any conference to win their tourney?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at the NEC, so a really small conference up there, right? But the reason is I think all these teams are pretty much the same. There's a lot of parity in this conference, so I think the pricing doesn't make sense from how I perceive the actual team ability. For instance, Merrimack is the heavy favorite. I think they're minus 120, minus 115 at places. And the next shortest odds is Fairleigh Dickinson around plus 300. I think Fairleigh Dickinson's a great bet. I think they're just as good as Merrimack. In fact, beat Merrimack on the road. And also there's a team in Wagner that's as high as 12-1 out there in the market that also beat Merrimack at Merrimack and could definitely make a run in this tournament. And by the way, Wagner, the highest rated KenPom team as well. So I think this conference is a little bit interesting with the way they're priced out. Home teams do host each game, or excuse me, the higher seeds do host each game. But still, I think there's minimal home court advantage in the NEC. And thus, I think a non-one seed team could win this conference pretty easily.
All right, so Kai's talking about the Northeast Conference, and that tournament begins tomorrow. Merrimack is the number one seed. Fairleigh Dickinson is the number two seed, so they're on opposite sides of the brackets. This is one of these brackets that is actually conventional, you know, where you actually see it, in as opposed to, I don't know, what is it, the West Coast Conference, which is like this thing that goes horizontally forever. Okay, so I like that. So the pick is Fairleigh Dickinson, not Wagner, just to be clear?
Yeah, I think I'd go with Fairleigh Dickinson over Wagner. If you want to take a longer shot, Wagner, I think, would be my pick there.
All right. Any other conference where you have to play?
Well, kind of like you said, with the conventional format, the OVC does not do a conventional format. They send their top two seeds to the semifinals right away.
Yes, they do.
That's Morehead and Tennessee Tech. Morehead, I think, is the best team in this conference. I think they've proven that. They're even money. So, you know, a little bit there if you're interested in taking them. But Tennessee Tech at plus 350-ish could be an interesting play considering they're already in the semis.
They just got to win two games. That's it.
Just win two games, and they can shoot. And teams that can shoot obviously can go on runs, small sample size, a couple games here and there. You never know.
Yeah, that's
I'd lean one of those teams.
Yeah, Ohio Valley starts tomorrow, but Tennessee Tech won't play their semifinal till Friday night. So there you go. Yeah, that's, I mean, just from a, you got to win two basketball games. And who are they likely to play? Tennessee State, perhaps, in the semis of that. Okay, that's it for the conferences, those two? Want to leave it at that?
Yeah, and I like conferences, by the way, that do this, the smaller leagues. They're trying to send their best team to the tournament, and I do respect that. I get what they're doing that. I think it's a good thing to do.
As opposed to the Colgate situation, correct, where in the Patriot League, yes, there are a couple play-in games, but essentially Colgate has to win, three basketball games to get there, and one trip up, and good God, that's conference mayhem.
Exactly, and that team dominated the league, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in the Summit, for instance. Oral Roberts ran the table in the Summit, and if they lose in that tournament, they're probably not going to get an at-large bid. So it's almost a disservice sometimes to set tournaments up like that. But it is March, and that's what makes it exciting for us casual viewers.
Yeah.
But the conferences and the teams themselves, I kind of get that as a bit of a raw deal.
And it's so much fun going to these games, though, because so little crowd at some of these games. You can be heard heckling and stuff. That might apply to people like Todd Wishnet, my buddy. Okay, what about individual games today? What did you play?
I got one normal game, non-conference tournament game in the SEC, Arkansas, +6.5 going on the road to Tennessee. And this is mainly a Nick Smith angle. They are a different team with him in the lineup. He's a lottery pick this summer. When he plays over 20 minutes this season, Arkansas is 7-1 against the spread. So I don't think their value is totally caught up with his impact in the lineup. And I do respect Tennessee's home floor, but I don't really like what I've seen from them recently. Just 3-5 straight up, 2-6 against the spread last 8 games. I think they're struggling a bit right now. And Arkansas they're at a different level with Smith in the lineup.
Any bets inside conference tournament play today?
I got one. It's in the Ace Sun, Stetson. Stetson pick. I think you can find plus one out there even. They are hosting Lipscomb today, so it's at Stetson. The Ace Sun is a really strong home court this year, one of the stronger home court advantages in the country from an ATS perspective as a conference. These teams also just played Friday, which is a little bit interesting, and they went to overtime. And the first match went to overtime, too. So two evenly matched squads, both teams won at home. But also a key point of this, Steven Swenson, Stetson's point guard, leading scorer, or quarterback, he's missed the last two games. He missed Friday. He's hoping to be back in this game, had an ankle injury. If he's back in, I think this line is very short. KenPom has this minus four. Getting Stetson at a pick, even with him out, I think is good value. If he's in, I think it's great value. And Stetson, a team that can catch fire, best offense in the A-Sun.
Nice. All right. Kai, before I let you go, yesterday I did the old college basketball formula, which works every year. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask this of you in a different way. So these six teams that came up, three on the inside currently looking out, three just on the outside looking in, Alabama, Purdue, Kansas, Houston, UConn, UCLA. If I came to you from the future and I said, hey, Kai, none of those six teams won the national championship, not Bama, not Purdue, not Kansas, not Houston, not UConn, not UCLA, what team won the NCAA title?
I think it's going to be Houston.
No, can't be one of those. You're not allowed to pick one of those six.
Not one of those. I'm sorry. Boy.
It's a very tricky game I'm playing with you, yes. Kai.
How about Gonzaga?
Oh, stop it. No.
I say it every year, too, and it's never come true, but it will. It will eventually if I keep saying it.
You're like the golf bettor who like bets the same guy every week for fear that they don't win.
That's right.
For fear that they win the one week you don't bet them.
That's right. Best offense in the country, I think they're getting a little bit ignored just because they're not the number one team. Still top 10, still going to be a top three seed. I think they can do it.
Wow, that would be the irony of all ironies. If this was the year that they won, where no one's looking at them. Of those six, though, if I change it around, you did say Houston.
I'm going Houston. Most balanced team on both ends. And Kelvin Sampson, I've said multiple times, I think he's the best coach in the country. So I'm going with coaching, experience, toughness, and being good on both ends of the ball.
Kelvin Sampson, couple endings in Sweet 16s, couple endings in Elite 8s, couple Final Fours in his career. Right. Thank you, Kai. Appreciate it. Enjoy all the conference tournaments, man.
Thanks, Gil.
Kai McKeon at Kai. That's at KY_3MW. You own his personal Twitter. But the old three-man weave picks, they're all at 3MW_CBB. Kelly and I both made some NFL draft bets. We didn't know that the other person made some. We'll review them next. Go over another prop there in the draft. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Do not forget, if you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers getting access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where experts break down brackets, best bets, and daily props. Don't miss out. It's a limited time offer, though. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly, you can't tell the voice is better today? I can tell. I can totally tell.
It's not that. I didn't really think it was that bad yesterday.
Oh, it was terrible. we get tweets at Beanie the Book. Shout out to Conscious Observer. Conscious Observer, remember that discussion we were having yesterday, Criterion?
Oh, yeah. Great tweet.
I think you botched it, Kelly. He said, criteria, typically a plural noun, referring to standards on which a judgment can be made. The singular is criterion.
So we had it flipped.
We messed that up.
Yeah.
Touchdown Jesus. Oh, yeah. Have you heard this the latest Daniel Snyder story? Touchdown Jesus pointing me to
it. I can't even keep up with him anymore, Gil.
Bro,
is this a new one?
It's a new revelation,
okay.
Yes.
Because I kind of skimmed through it thinking, like, I don't know how many more stories I need to hear about Snyder, like,
yes.
Stealing money or, like, doing roundabout ways of getting money.
That's right. If misogyny and stealing money from other NFL owners wasn't enough for you, welcome to today. And today's latest thing is that they revealed that he took a $55 million credit line without having his minority owners approve it, which they are supposed to have. These are three billionaires that own 40% of the Commanders. Used to. He right. since has bought. Roger Goodell didn't investigate it. They said they would. They never did. So now this is a criminal investigation.
But isn't this like the most classic rich person thing to do on the planet? Like, you're embarrassed about not having enough money, so you don't tell your other wealthy friends?
Well, here's some more from that, and this is what Touchdown Jesus is pointing out. When minority partners started looking closely into team finances, they found Snyder had charged the team $4.5 million to put its logo on his private jet. Allegedly.
That's fantastic. What was the number?
4.5. I'm going to charge my team $4.5 million to put our logo on my jet. This dude is the biggest creep in the world. From the moment he walked in the door, he kidnapped the love of our lives. Give it back.
Hey, Gil, how much are you getting from Veasan for putting that logo on your laptop?
$4.5 million.
You should renegotiate that in your next contract.
$4.5 million for the logo on my laptop. John Burgo on Twitter. By the way, Bridge Sweet saying that, yes, when he pressed them when he was at Indian Wells, that the laptop did have to do with gambling. He said that they told him that, though it's not official. John Burgo, when do you expect to talk some more baseball futures with Spreadopedia? That's Jason Weingarten. Thanks in advance. We will do that with Jason. Today we'll do it with Paul Spohr, but we'll absolutely do it with Jason from Under a Cloud of Smoke for sure. And this one is from Lance Schaefer. I always listen to Follow the Money every day for 3 years. I gave your show a shot a few weeks ago. The first bet I tailed you on was Bucks best record 8-1 and the freak MVP 8-1. At worst, I have hedging options. Thank you, Gil, new faithful listener. Hey, man, come on board. Jason H11. Oh, he's talking about the unisex name that you have, Kelly. He says, wait a sec, you mean Kelly Bidlin is a dude? Oh, the great Bambino. Hey, Gil, love the show. Will you be having Roxy on the show before the start of baseball season? Not sure if you have mentioned it yet. Great question. And, in fact, I DM'd with Roxy yesterday. We're talking about Roxy Roxborough, the legendary founder of Las Vegas Sports Consultants, the most beautifully dressed man in any sports book at any time. Roxy was the very first guest on A Numbers Game when we started this show
the
6 years ago.
One.
Very first day.
Wow.
It was Al Bernstein. Me and Brent Musburger. Can you imagine me a little pisher in between those two guys? And I did 1 hour, and it was all Roxy. Anyway, the answer to your question is this, and I'm not making this up, and I hope Roxy's not going to be upset with me that I say this out loud, but you know what Roxy said?
Yeah, he brought it up that you were talking to him yesterday.
Yeah, he said, so the last years on your show, here were my season win totals records. 4-2, 4-2, 7-1, 4-2, and then last year he got a 2-3, and he had said to me before, if I ever don't get a winning record, I can't do it anymore. I'm like, are you kidding me? You had a 2-3. So I don't want to be disrespectful to Roxy and press him on it, but he doesn't want to do it because he got a 2-3.
Well, this is like this, but that would be the, wouldn't it be kind of proving out that the more he does this show, the more he wins?
Yeah, I don't know why he, I don't
it
know.
Took like till year 8 for that streak to end.
We
it's
missed
kind
you,
of
Roxy.
Like, Gil, if I lose everything on golf this weekend, I can be like, well, Gil's back, and that's clearly the problem, you know, that because you were gone, I was winning, so.
I don't know where you're going with that, Kelly. Jesse Welch. I cannot wait to hit. I don't know if he's. Yeah, I don't think he meant it this way. I cannot wait to hit my wifey with, quote, a potpourri of mediocrity in the coming days. I don't know.
I like that.
Best
like
listeners
that
ever. Does he mean his general behavior with his wife? I have no idea.
I don't know.
All right, we'll go through.
I think just throw out that word to her or that slang.
He gives him a sort of, you know, carte blanche to act however. He's like, it's just a potpourri of mediocrity. Sorry. I'm sorry, Kelly. I went too far into the tweets. NFL draft. Where would you like to start?
Oh, good. Well, we got a new new market posted out there. How about first defensive player to be drafted? All these we brought it up yesterday. We're going to keep bringing this stuff. Is that when they post stuff, we're going to keep bringing this up because these things will continue to move.
Where was this?
This over at DraftKings. Jalen Carter plus 105. Will Anderson plus 125. Tyree Wilson 6-1. And then 25-1 and longer after that. Does sound like it's down to basically these three guys, if not two. At the top.
Jalen Carter, who will not be performing in the combine. I use the word performing.
I guess
purposely.
I haven't heard anything on Will Anderson there. I did see that on Carter.
Will Anderson, it's felt like he's been the short shot to be the number one defensive player drafted for 3 years now.
Yes. Jalen Carter won't work out either.
I do not have a bet in this category. You?
I do not. I do not. However, I think it's, I mean, just in general, right? Wouldn't you usually think the pass rusher has a better chance than the defensive tackle?
I guess.
I know Jalen Carter has been up there.
What they're referring to as edge these days?
Yes, yes. Edge, yeah, I know it. Actually, you know what? I'm glad they're referring it to that because the years of trying to – the DN versus OLB-like situation, that was a nightmare. Just make it edge. I don't have one, but I think this is one that's going to be interesting to monitor. You've seen Carter way up there recently. I mean, some people, if they don't have the Bears making a trade, they have him going with Jalen Carter with that number one pick. Do I really think that's going to happen? No. But I think this is one to monitor because, like you said, Gil, Will Anderson, for seemingly 2 years, has been that first guy, but he's kind of hanging below Jalen Carter right now. And I wouldn't be shocked if those odds don't flip at some point.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. We're still 2 months out. Believe me, this is not set in stone. We may have multiple bets in lots of categories, but on bets in currently.
Yeah, I think the only one that's worth bringing up with this market, though, the defensive player market, Gil, is, you know, if it's really just down between those two guys, you might be able to grab little plus prices on both guys.
If you wanted to play it that way. First pick in the draft, though, of course, is the one that everybody had out first. And I do have a play here. While I was on vacation, I bet C.J. Stroud at plus 682.
Damn you. What a number.
I don't understand why more people aren't thinking he could go one. And I'll just say this, because Bryce Young is short and slight of build. And what has C.J. Stroud done to not impress you over these years?
Yeah.
I think I missed that. He's down a 4-1 now. I have a plus 682 to go number one. Might he, not? Of course, there's that possibility. He certainly isn't the favorite. Bryce Young is. A lot of people like Will Levis. A lot of people like Anthony Richardson. A lot of people, I don't know about a lot of people, but some people think the Bears won't even trade it, which I don't think will happen, but I got C.J. Stroud, plus 682.
So I have that Billy Levi's ticket with Matt Brown at 40-1 from before. I love him.
Billy Levi's.
I keep calling him Billy Levi's until the draft happens. I have that 40-1 ticket. I did add Stroud yesterday. You and I talked about this kind of separately. Plus 450. I did add that. And my thinking is a little bit here. Did I bet that big? No, I didn't bet it huge, Gil. But my thinking is here that these numbers could shift during the combine. I really rarely think the combines affect these things that much. But here's what's going to happen this week.
Will Levis is going to throw some unbelievable pass or something?
Oh, no, I'm talking more about Stroud.
Oh, okay.
But the Stroud versus Young thing, here's what's going to happen this week. Stroud is throwing. Young is not.
Yeah.
So Young is going to show up there, and all he's going to do is get measured. And by the way, if anybody wants to know, we have official results in on that. Bryce Young was officially measured at 5'10.5" is where he comes in at today. So what we're going to hear about, I think, a lot over the next few days is all this how short Bryce Young stuff is. That's going to keep going. Because he doesn't get a chance to throw, Gil, we're not going to hear as much about his arm. And I think the stock on C.J. Stroud could go up a bit here.
5'10.5". C.J. Stroud is 6'3".
Yeah.
5'10.5". I went to Skins training camp once when Heath Shuler was drafted. And I was, you know, young kid. I looked at Heath Shuler and I'm like, that guy's playing NFL quarterback? Because he was too short.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I do have one more play, the wide receiver market. We'll get to that on the other side. And NBA division races. We'll take a gander at that. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least 4 legs on any NHL game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. Just log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to get started. Then opt in to the one-game parlay insurance promotion. Place a one-game parlay wager with 4 legs or more on any NHL game. And if you miss only one leg on your wager, you'll receive up to $25 back in bonus bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. tweets. We get them at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. Jason H11 wanted to comment about Kai McKeon answering Gonzaga to my question that if that if one of those six teams, Alabama, Purdue, Kansas, Houston, UConn, UCLA, don't win the title, who would? He said Gonzaga. Jason H11 said, Gonzaga equals Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. It's a good comparison. Except for Ricky Fowler's currently on his way back up.
That's true. Jack Hannon. Oh, I got to mention this because I didn't get a chance to yesterday. Jack Hannon read Chris's book Then One Day on a flight to Madrid. Excellent. Can't wait to come to the South Point and play some hockey teasers. That's a shout out to one of the chapters in Then One Day, Chris Andrews' first book, which was really, for those who listen to the Beating the Book podcast, it was all of his story times in written form, fleshed out further, other stories added. Then One Day, just a phenomenally great, funny, poignant book. His second book, Then One Year, turned out to be something he didn't intend for it to be. That was about being a bookmaker himself, nonfiction during the pandemic. And it was a fascinating read in its own right because there's so many things in there where you forgot, oh my God, that's right, this game. We were lucky that these games were even posted. We were so happy to see this game. It was a tremendous read as well. And I told Chrissy, Chris Velika told Chrissy the same thing. We're vacation readers. So I can't get to your book, Adele Fosmu, my brother, his fiction book, until vacation. I read his book, Adele Fosmu, my brother, Kelly, available at Andrews Sports. If you go to his Twitter, you can see it, a link there, or at Amazon. I read it over my vacation, pardon me, and it was spectacular. And I'm not just saying this because I love Chrissy. It's fiction. So this is not nonfiction like the first two books. He wrote a novel, and he's been working on it for years. It's about it's a sports betting story. It was structured so brilliantly, and it was just this. It was an awesome read. I enjoyed every moment of it. Felika said the same thing, and I recommend it highly to anybody if you have the time to sit down and read. I don't do fiction anymore, but this was great, and it was the character development was great. The structure was great. I don't have time besides on a vacation, but that was awesome.
I mean, I think we talked about this off air with Chris before, but it's, man, I got enough respect for a guy who's able to write a nonfiction book.
Yes.
Right? Like, where I think I might have a chance to do that, but it wouldn't be much good. A fictional book?
Dude,
are you kidding me?
I'm like, who are you with this fiction?
I don't even know where I'd start.
His next book is going to go back to nonfiction and continue with some of the Then One Day, some other story time stuff. And I asked him, do you think you have another novel in you? And he's like, yeah. He's working on it. This dude.
That's wild.
One more tweet. This is from Sky High. Oh, this is from Better Brewer, the guy with the kids.
Yeah,
he said, jump in the truck to get the kids to school. As Kelly is talking, kids, is Gil back? Me, yes. Yay. What's he talking about? Me, basketball. Kids, why? Because football season is over, he says. What about the draft? They respond.
Don't worry. We got that covered.
Hashtag proud dad. I love these kids.
I got some breaking news coming through for you, Gil.
Yes, sir.
The Giants have released wide receiver Kenny Golladay. What was your favorite moment of the Kenny Golladay Giants experiment?
I have an answer for that question. I think that Kenny Golladay's seventh consecutive unpredicted week as doubtful on the injury report was my favorite moment of the Kenny Golladay Giants years.
Trying to pull up.
He was doubtful so much they should change it from questionable to Golladay.
To Golladay?
It should be questionable, then doubtful should be changed to Golladay.
So probable, questionable, Golladay.
Yeah, I don't think they do probable. Do they do probable anymore?
Yeah, I don't think they do that in the NFL.
You're right. It's questionable and Golladay.
Okay, wait. Let's play a quick game real quick. Kenny Golladay had over under 57.5 receptions in his 2 years with the Giants.
Under.
Oh, it's way under.
Yeah.
It's way under.
No
it
problem.
Is 43 is your answer. He didn't even crack. That's targets, not yardage. I almost freaked out when I saw yardage.
What was your favorite moment? Carson Wentz, by the way, no surprise to anybody, released by the Washington Commodes yesterday. What was your favorite moment of the Carson Wentz year in Washington?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, too. When he goes out onto the field and just looks like he's going to be a great quarterback, Gil, that's my favorite moment every time. Runs out.
They traded the kitchen sink for him, and everybody knew it was stupid. What are you doing? You know what they say about him, too? He's not open to coaching. Carson Wentz, not open to coaching.
Don't you love reports like that?
Yeah.
Where it's like, what do you think you are, Michael Jordan? Like, there should be maybe one or, like, a couple athletes in the history of sports that can be like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, I don't know. Probably a couple good tennis greats, right?
I mean, I do feel for him because he had the injury and he was great before the injury. And then he had to watch Nick Foles win a Super Bowl title with him, you know, on the sidelines. I get it. It was a bum deal for you.
Me too. Yes.
But good God, man.
But you got multiple other opportunities.
Yes, you did. And you made some bad decisions over and over again. So I did make one more draft bet. Odds to be the first wide receiver drafted in the NFL. I actually bet Jackson Smith-Njigba, who is the third shot here at DraftKings. Quentin Johnson from Johnston, our boy Matt Duggan's favorite target over there at TCU, is a +110. Jordan Addison, who a lot of people feel will be the best as a pro. I don't know. Have you seen Smith-Njigba play football? Good God.
So, Gil, I like your bet. I haven't bet anything in this market, but okay, yes, those top two guys have been getting a lot of love. Zay Flowers, his name I've actually heard brought up a lot, but more of an end of the first round pick for wide receivers. I do think we're going to see a lot of wide receivers going this first round again. But to your point, with Smith-Njigba, this is the guy that we kept hearing right from all these other wide receivers that came out over the years that, hey, like this, we ain't even the best. The best guy is there.
It's the famous story of Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. With Smith-Njigba saying, okay, which one of you guys is the best? And Wilson and Olave immediately pointing at him.
Point over to him, yeah. And, you know, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave had pretty damn good rookie seasons in the NFL.
Pretty good.
Your number +350, I think I like it. I like it.
Where did you want to go with these NBA division races? I'm curioso.
Oh, I got a couple real quick. Actually, you know what? Let's do
our bets first because people were wondering about the tennis pick. Tonight. It's today. It's during the day. Yesterday, we had the winner on Katie Valinets. She was +122 against Allison Risk Armitage. She got it done, bageling her in the third set. Another dog play today, Taylor Townsend, +140 against Sloane Stephens, two American players. This is also in Austin, Texas, on the hard courts. First ever women's tournament in Austin. Taylor Townsend +140. Again, this is one of these things. Yesterday was a fade of Risk more than it was a backing of Valinets. This one is also a fade of Sloane Stephens a little more than it is a backing of Taylor Townsend. Though Taylor Townsend, if you take her numbers out to a year, actually has much more favorable numbers on hard court surfaces than does Sloane Stephens. The deal with Sloane Stephens is she is a major winner. She won the U.S. Open, as many will recall, some years ago against Madison Keys in the finals. She has been choppy since then. In other words, her performances have ranged about as widely as any player on either tour. In other words, she can sort of recapture some of that greatness at times, and then she can look god-awful. She got bageled the other day, two consecutive sets, but no shame in doing so against Krejcikova the other day. But so it's really a play against Sloane Stephens and hoping that she cannot bounce back quickly with one of her better performances. So Taylor Townsend at +140, especially based on the year-long numbers, that is the play. That is about 2 p.m., I want to say, Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. But, you know, with tennis matches, they're always dependent on the match that precedes them. So I'm not sure if she's the first match out there or not, but that's around when it's scheduled. So Taylor Townsend, +140, your tennis play. You have an NBA play.
Yeah, I do. I do. Smaller play tonight, but Gil, I've started to do this over the past week or two. It's the look at the teams that are you know,
Tankapalooza.
Use the T word. We're tanking without tanking, and
a numbers game tradition.
That's right. We'll break this down more late. You know, either tomorrow or Thursday, because there are some stretches here, and the Spurs and Rockets are absolutely two teams that you should be targeting right now. And where I think it's kind of a tell, Gil, is when they keep moving around starting lineups and they keep taking out guys. You've seen that a lot with the Rockets, but this is a fade against the Spurs tonight. Spurs lost 15 in a row at this point. 15 in a row.
15 or 16? So 15?
I've played 16. You're right, 16.
Yeah. Let's not sell them short, Kelly.
Let's not sell them short. So I did a Jazz and then Mavericks money line parlay tonight. Mavericks have the Indiana Pacers.
I only have one cautionary note about the brain dead money line parlays against tanking teams. Those tanking teams are so far worse than like the fifth worst team that they can actually afford to win some games and it won't matter.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
So we should actually talk about that and flesh that out a little after the break. We'll do that. NBA division races and more. Paul Sporer on baseball to Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.